You're listening to the Kribo Shoe Podcast, Episode 74, Most Impactful Games. Welcome back to another episode of the Kribo Shoe Podcast. This is Episode 74. I'm your host, Brandon. I'm joined not by Chad, who's taking a well-deserved break this week, but I'm joined by a friend of the show, Tristan. How's it going, man?
Hey, it's going good. Good to be back.
Well, we're glad to have you here. It's worked out really, really great for Chad missing this show, you coming in and joining me. So we're able to have a show. Very excited. We're going to be talking about our most impactful games today as our main topic. So I'm looking forward to hearing about your games. But before we get into that, let's start off with what we've been playing. Tristan, what have you been playing lately?
Well, of course, I've been playing Animal Crossing New Horizons.
Oh, just like everyone else with a Switch, I suppose.
Oh, yeah. And I've been trying to get my turnip selling so I can get a good profit, but it's not working out too good for me.
Hasn't been doing great so far.
Yeah, it's been basically my Nook Shop keeps giving me low numbers all the time, so I'm fully reliant on my friends.
That's good to hear.
Yeah, and then my the other game I've been playing is Super Mario Galaxy 2. So,
oh wow, didn't expect that.
Yeah, going back a bit, because I've played Super Mario Galaxy 1 long time ago when it first came out, but I never got around to the second game, so I'm getting to that now.
Okay, yeah, that's a huge hole in my Mario history. I haven't played either of these games very much at all. How are you liking Galaxy 2?
Really good. It's basically the same as Galaxy 1, just more stuff in it. I haven't seen, I'm blanking on the name right now, but you know.
Oh, Rosalina.
Rosalina, yeah. I don't know why I lost that, but, yeah, I haven't seen her in this game. I'm not sure if she's in it, honestly. I haven't looked, but,
So far you have not seen her. Okay. No. I do believe Yoshi is in this game, correct? I think he's on the cover even. Okay. Yeah, that's cool.
He's in it a good bit. He's fun to mess around with, so.
Awesome. How does, the Galaxy, games compare to like Sunshine, Odyssey, Mario 64?
Well, they're a little different, but they're really good. Like, in my opinion, I really loved Galaxy. It was one of my favorite Nintendo games.
Right. I just always had trouble with the controls with the Wiimote and Nunchuck. I just never liked that. I'm left-handed, and it just didn't feel right. Putting them in either hand just didn't feel right for a Mario game, but I would love to play through these at some time.
Oh, yeah. Maybe you can get a controller for it or something.
Yeah, maybe so. Well, that's great. It's good to hear that you're going back and playing one of the classics. I've also been playing some Animal Crossing New Horizons. Not as much as in past weeks. I don't know. I was to where I was playing it every day for probably the first 3 weeks or so, but just played it two or three times in the last week and a half probably, but really am enjoying it. Just I'm not finding time to play it every day, but I'm thinking maybe some of these upcoming events will get me back in.
Yeah, I hear you on that. I've been easing off of it a bit. I've been basically just getting on to do my basic stuff, and that's about all I've done.
Yeah, you know, I love the game so much, and it was just like taking all of my free time. And at a certain point, it's like, you know what? I've got to do something else with my life other than work, sleep, and play Animal Crossing. So
I hear you. I think I'm actually at 120 hours in the game. So,
oh wow,
I've put in some time on it.
Yeah, but that's not all I've been playing. So I picked up a game that I was fairly excited about and then was happy to see it getting really good reviews. I picked up Streets of Rage 4 on the Switch on the eShop. I think there is a physical release coming, but I think it's several months away. I loved this series back on the Genesis as a kid. They're some of my favorite beat-em-ups, and this one does not disappoint. First of all, it looks incredible. There's I think 12 stages. I'm about halfway through it. There's a lot more to it than just your standard beat 'em up. There's a lot of different moves you can do and combos. And the thing I really like is the characters have a ton of variety. So every character feels completely different than the next. So I'm having a lot of fun playing through that right now.
Sounds interesting. I need to check them out. I don't think I've ever played one of those games.
Oh yeah, they were great beat 'em ups back in the early 90s. Never actually were in arcades, but you know, had that arcade feel, and just really solid beat 'em ups. And you know, it's been, I don't know, 20-25 years since Streets of Rage 3, and it just, it's one of the things, it's kind of surprised to hear like, oh, Streets of Rage 4 is coming out. You just kind of think it's a dead series, but they really did it justice. It's really good. So definitely worth checking out if you like brawlers.
Sounds good. Sounds good that they kept up the quality.
Yes, for sure. Sometimes you think something like this coming up, that it's probably going to be terrible and just kind of leave a stain on the franchise, but I'm happy to report that that's not the case with Streets of Rage 4. So
awesome.
All right, so let's go ahead and move into recent pickups. This has been a small topic the last several weeks, with a lot of stores being closed and people not, you know, I don't just go shopping as much as I used to anymore right now. So it's been fairly small, but have you picked up anything? It's been a while since we've had you on the show. Anything of note?
So the most recent thing that I have gotten is the Animal Crossing Switch.
Nice.
That special edition there. So it's been a little while since it came out, but that's about all I've got, but I love it.
Awesome. So let me ask you, are you using that as your main Switch, or are you keeping it kind of sealed and it's just as a collector's item?
I have it out of the box, but I'm not using it as my main Switch. It's okay. Mainly because I haven't added a screen protector to it, so I don't want to pull it in and out of the dock too much until I get something like that on there.
Yeah, no, definitely hear you there. That is, in my opinion, the best of the special edition Switches so far. I don't know what you think, but it's just the attention to detail, the different colored dock, all that kind of stuff, is just makes it very special and unique compared to past special editions.
Oh yeah, and I have an entire video on my channel about that.
That's right. Yeah. So, of course, you are Cooper Cosmic on YouTube. And like you say, you've got an unboxing on there. So that's definitely something people can check out if they want to. As far as me, something pretty boring, but I was able to take advantage of a Walmart pickup coupon code type of a deal. So I didn't even have to go in the store, but I got a pro controller for basically $30 off. So I picked up another one. I was needing another one anyway. I've been playing with my Splatoon 2 special edition pro controller and like keep worrying, like, as much as I use it, like, I'm going to break it and I'm not going to be able to like find another one. So yeah. I was happy to just get like a basic pro controller that now I can use and abuse and put the Splatoon one up. So
yeah, that's exactly what I do with my Smash Brothers controller. I try to use my standard black one and leave my Smash one until I absolutely need it.
You know, and I would love so much to use my special edition, like, Smash controller, like you talk about. I have a Xenoblade one as well. They all look incredible, but they're so scarce. If something ever happens to it, it's like, you can't replace it, and you know, unless you want to pay a huge markup on eBay. So it makes me just, like, scared to use them. So it's kind of the blessing and the curse with Nintendo's special edition stuff is I'm afraid to use it.
I know, especially, like, on the Smash controller, with it having white grips, I'm afraid I'm going to stain the grips.
Yeah, so it's happy to pick that up. Of course, not that exciting of a pickup, but just something that I'll actually use, and maybe we'll save my Splatoon 2 controller. So
sounds good.
All right, so let's go ahead and move on into the news. Nintendo released their financials for the last quarter since we last recorded. Animal Crossing, a huge winner. I'm sure this probably doesn't surprise anyone, but it's ridiculous how much this sold. So far they've sold 13.4 million copies of Animal Crossing in just the first 6 weeks on sale. That's just absolutely staggering, especially for this franchise.
Oh yeah. I never really expected Animal Crossing to be such a mainstream game.
Yeah, like, I mean, you talk about, you know, maybe Pokemon, Mario Kart, and then Animal Crossing. Like, it's insane. So they definitely sold a ton of them. Of course, the majority of those sales came in just the first 11 days. That was when the financial quarter ended, and they were at 11.77 million copies sold then. So definitely nothing to sniff at. Animal Crossing is a legit huge pillar of Nintendo's franchises at this point.
With the game being so big, which imagine the quarantine thing had a lot to do with helping it too, but people are already excited with the game to begin with.
Yeah, I was going to pick up another copy of this game for a friend, and like it was sold out everywhere, like in town. Like I can't remember the last time like a Nintendo first party game just was sold out everywhere. So that told me right there, like, man, there are a lot of people buying this game. And yeah, it couldn't have came out at a better time. Like you said, right as the kind of stay at home orders went into place. Well, there's Animal Crossing. So I think everybody was picking it up.
Oh yeah. I even personally know some people who've bought a Switch purely to play Animal Crossing.
Yeah, no, me too. It's insane. You know, typically you think that would be more reserved for like a new Zelda or a new Pokemon game or something, but no, now Animal Crossing is selling consoles. So it's pretty impressive from how Animal Crossing started as a relatively obscure game on the GameCube, and now just it's more mainstream than hardly anything else.
Mm-hmm.
With all those sales, it's already the 7th best-selling Switch game on the console. So that's a pretty good debut there. Nintendo also announced that over 27 titles on the Switch have sold over 1 million copies. That just speaks to me just the strength of the Switch's library, and just that a lot of these people that buy Switches are buying a lot of games. You know, it's not like kind of how the Wii had huge sales of consoles, but it seemed like a lot of people were happy with just Wii Sports or Wii Fit or something like that. It didn't go out and buy a lot of games. It seems like on the Switch, people are buying a lot of these big Nintendo games, and there's proof there with 27 of them selling over 1 million copies.
Oh yeah. I personally myself have branched off to games I've never even played before, just because I know the Switch has so many good games. I'm just willing to try anything.
Exactly. Yeah, no, I've noticed that too. My Switch library is already gigantic. I can't imagine what it'll look like when the Switch is done. But yeah, it's just, I don't know, there's just something about it, just buying a game on there and knowing you can play it at home or on the go. It makes me buy a lot of stuff on the Switch.
Definitely.
So the Switch console itself has now sold 55.77 million units as of March 31st. So that puts it in front of the Super Nintendo, which was at 49.1 million, and it is now gunning for the Nintendo Entertainment System, the NES, which is sitting at 61.91. So it's going to overtake the NES here in the next couple of months, and that's just crazy to me. I never imagined when the Switch was introduced that it would, you know, be climbing the ranks like this as far as some of Nintendo's just top-selling consoles, and it's just blowing past them. And I don't see an end in sight. I don't think we're gonna see a sequel to the Switch anytime soon. So it's gonna be interesting to see where it actually lands.
Oh yeah, I think it totally deserves its spot going up at the top. It's probably one of my favorite Nintendo consoles.
Yeah, it's great, and it's a remarkable turnaround for Nintendo after the Wii U. You know, it was pretty much a sales disaster, and to think that they could turn around and then come up with the hottest system around, it's very, very impressive that they were able to turn that around. Moving on into new releases, there finally are some. So we've got The Wonderful One coming out on May 19th. I think that's digital only. I think a physical release is coming, but has maybe been delayed with the pandemic. But I know that if you're interested in this game, you will be able to pick it up digitally very soon. Shantae and the Seven Sirens comes out on May 28th. And then we've got a trilogy of 2K collections coming to the Switch on May 29th. So you'll be able to pick up the Bioshock Collection, XCOM 2 Collection, and the Borderlands Legendary Collection all on May 29th. And then, of course, also on May 29th, the big, kind of the last big Nintendo first-party game that we know of that's coming is Xenoblade Chronicles Definitive Edition, also on May 29th. So May is looking to be a decent month, actually, for the Switch after a pretty quiet April, in my opinion.
Oh, yeah. It'd be interesting to play something like Bioshock on the Switch.
I know, exactly. I'm wondering how those will run. Hopefully very well. I'm also interested in the Borderlands collection.
Oh, me too.
Curious to see how that will review, but that's definitely something I would consider picking up if it looks like it's a good port.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to check in and see how they run.
Definitely. All right, well, that's going to do it for all of that. We're going to take a quick break, and when we return, we'll get to our main topic, our most impactful games. All right, so getting into our main topic, which is going to be our most impactful games. You know, we just want to talk about some games that were most impactful in our lives. So these may not necessarily be like our favorite games of all time, but each one of these games we're going to be talking about had a big impact on us as gamers throughout our lives. So I thought this would be a kind of a fun topic to do because, you know, we've got some considerable age difference between you and I. So we'll probably have some different games and that impacted us at different times of our lives. And I thought it'd be fun to get into. So I appreciate you joining me for this.
Definitely.
Let's go ahead and get started with your games. Tristan, I'll let you go first as the guest.
Okay, so first of all, I've got Super Mario 64. And of course, I have to add this to my list because this is my first introduction to like a 3D world in a game, you know. Which, of course, there's other games that like things like, you know, Crash Bandicoot or something, where, but you always had to go forward. But things like Super Mario 64 just blew my mind as a kid because I could kind of choose where I wanted to go and kind of move around. And right. You had so much control over Mario with, you know, like the triple jumps, the long jumps, the backflips. I just felt like I had so much control over the character. And this game was really what got me into loving games, like truly loving them.
Right. So how old were you when this game came out? I'm curious.
Let's see. It came out.
Came out in 96.
Came out in 96, yeah. So I wasn't born at that point. So I played it a little later. I was born in 97, so it was a bit later when I played it. I can't remember exactly how old I was.
Wow, but yeah, that's crazy. Okay, cool. No, I'm going to have a similar situation with one of my games. It came out before I was born, so I'm right there with you. But yeah, you're right. Just the amount of control you had over Mario and the amount of moves he had. You know, you're coming from side-scrolling Mario games where he can jump, and that's about it, you know, run and jump. And you have all these moves. I mean, Mario could punch and kick. Blew my mind as well as a kid. So I definitely can relate to you, you know, talking about the feeling of absolute control with this game.
Then the second game on my list, I have Animal Crossing Wild World. I added this to my list because Animal Crossing was my first introduction to the fact that games don't have to be levels and boss battles and everything. I was like, oh, you can just do stuff and it's still fun, you know?
Yeah, like, hey, games don't have to end, basically.
Yeah, it's like, it's a game with sort of infinite gameplay. Like, you can just keep playing it, really, and just never end. And it was...
Yeah, totally.
It was such a different game for me to discover. So it was really something completely different that I've never experienced in games before at that point.
Right, so I'm guessing you saying all that, was this your first Animal Crossing, most likely?
That was, yes.
Okay, Animal Crossing on the GameCube, similar situation with me. It's just like, wow, I've never played a game like this. Maybe other than I played The Sims at my friend's house, and that was also kind of a similar deal where it's like, hey, there's no real goal to this game. It's just kind of, there's just stuff to do whenever you want to, you know, and just also the whole just, hey, this time is the same in this game as it is in real life. And, you know, if you miss a day or you miss a week, like the villagers will comment on that and stuff like that. Yeah. It's just kind of, it was just a completely different style of game. So I can definitely see how that had a huge impact on you. Just like, hey, here's a whole other genre of games I didn't even know existed. And hey, it's also a lot of fun. So.
Oh, yeah. And then my next game I have, it's not really just one individual game, it's kind of a collection of games, and that's the Wii series. So like the Wii Sports and stuff. The reason I add this now is like the games by themselves aren't anything, you know, new or unique that is bowling and baseball and stuff, but it's the experience with the console that makes it special to me.
Oh yeah, totally.
Because being a kid and being told that, like, hey, on this console, you know, you can actually get up and bowl in your living room. I was like, what? You know, that was like crazy. I was like, I never thought that you could, like, get up and be physically involved in your video games.
Right, yeah.
So
it was a very new concept at the time. You know, right now, I think people are used to that with VR and stuff. It's like, hey, yeah, you can get a workout with a game. Before the Wii came out, like, that was not the idea of what games were like or what a gamer was like at all. So
yeah, definitely. And like you said, VR is kind of like the modern thing. And even now I have a Oculus Rift, but I consider the Wii to kind of be my, like, stepping stone into that category of games.
Yeah, I can totally see that. Kind of the whole motion control, it kind of leads you to where you're at now with VR. So yeah, I can see mm-hmm. that. Let me ask you, what were some of your favorite of the other, you know, Wii series of games besides Wii Sports? Of course, that's an absolute classic, like you mm-hmm. said. Were there any other ones that you really enjoyed?
Wii Resort. I loved Wii Resort.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. The sequel, for sure. So, yeah.
Of course, you had all the like the sword fighting kind of thing. I forget exactly what it was called, but mm-hmm. I love that game.
Yeah, and of course, you had that the Wii Motion Plus, which mm-hmm. made the motion so much more accurate and everything. Yeah, that was a huge step up.
Yeah, that and archery, and it was just so fun to play around. And, you know, having my sister with me, we'd do like some co-op competitive stuff, and it was just so much fun.
Yeah, totally. Another thing, at least for me, and I know probably for a lot of people, probably you as well, is just that the Wii series, along with the Wiimote, and how natural it was to play them with the motion controls, I was able to get like a lot of people that weren't gamers at all to enjoy and actually be good at like Wii Bowling, for instance, where they would never pick up like a DualShock 3 controller, you know, something with two analog sticks 12 buttons. They would never, but you could like get your aunt, your grandma, whoever it was to like play Wii Bowling, and it's like they got it right away.
Exactly.
So that was another huge thing that got a lot of people into gaming, actually.
Yeah, definitely. I had a lot of family members who were very intimidated by controllers, so but they were really natural with the Wii remote. It was very easy for them to pick it up, so there's a lot of more family gaming going on with the Wii.
Right. Yeah. No, totally. Yeah. That was my experience as well. So yeah, that's a really good pick there. I hadn't really thought about that. You know, I don't look back just like super fondly on just like the Wii in general, because I didn't enjoy a lot of the games Nintendo put out then. And I didn't enjoy motion controls for like normal style games, mm-hmm. you know, obviously for like Wii Sports, it was awesome, but I didn't love playing like Zelda with the remote and stuff like that.
Oh yeah. No. So some things didn't work as good.
Right. But I mean, Nintendo did get a lot of people to try out and get into Nintendo games that never would have, if they wouldn't have done such a radical new controller. So definitely a very big impact, not only on you and I, but just a lot of people as well. So,
and I appreciate Nintendo's creativity with this stuff. I mean, even if things don't always, you know, stick, they always try something unique, and they always wind up hitting a home run every now and then.
Definitely. You know, even the whole Mii thing, that may be kind of played out at this point, but it was a huge deal when they debuted that, like, oh, cool, you can make, you know, a little representation of yourself, mm-hmm. and then they'll appear in all these Wii series of games. Like, it was so cool.
Oh, and it was always so fun to see, like, random friends and stuff, like, playing in your games randomly.
Yeah, they're, like, bowling in the next lane. Yeah. Yeah, it was really awesome. It was a great idea by Nintendo again. Yeah, like you said, just their creativity is unmatched in the gaming industry, and they do make some misses, but man, they also have some huge hits. And seems like, you know, Sony and Microsoft, they're comfortable to play it a lot more safe, and so that has its place as well. But I do love Nintendo's creativity.
Yes, I agree.
So I've got three games as well, and we actually share one, but not this first one. So my first game, it has to be the original Super Mario Brothers, and like Super Mario 64, this game came out before I was born. It came out in the States in 1985, so I was still a year away from being born. But this is one of the very first memories I have of a video game at all. We had some family that had an NES. I was probably 3 or 4 at the time, and while I didn't get to play it, and even if they would have handed me a controller, I would have had no idea what to do. I was absolutely fascinated by this. I can still remember it to this day, even at that age, just how riveted I was by Mario running across the screen, and the thought that you can actually control what's happening on the TV mm-hmm. just blew my mind. And so when I was finally able to get an NES of my own, you know, I played this game just for who knows how many hours. I had almost everything about this game memorized. I could play it straight through, no problem. And it just had a huge impact. And it's really the thing that got me interested in video games as a whole. So I had to put it on here because of just, you know, without this game, I don't know if I would have got into video games as early as I did or ever. But this game was so impactful to me as a child that I never looked back. So that's why I put it here on first on my list.
Oh yeah, there's always some Mario game on somebody's favorite game list.
Definitely. My next one is, of course, the one we share, and that's Super Mario 64. I will try not to just repeat everything you said, but I agree with everything you said. Like you said, there we had seen, of course, 3D stuff and like arcades, and like you mentioned with the PlayStation, but those were not just true free, you know, just free roaming 3D worlds like Mario 64. And I remember playing the demo of this and just walking around the courtyard of the castle and just mind being blown. Like, I can go anywhere, you know. And, the game did not disappoint when I finally got enough money to buy an N64 and a copy of this game. I played this for, I don't know how long. I played it for years after I had an N64. I never got tired of it. There was just always so much to do. Once you beat it, you could always just go through for another playthrough, which is what I would do. And I had so much fun playing this game.
Oh, yeah. I mean, even after we, like, beat the game and stuff, me and my sister used to just run around in the castle and do stuff like try to like dust the whole place for Peach or something, just messing around, because it was fun just to run around the castle and just goof off. I mean,
oh yeah, running into, you know, one of the little secret window that has the slide, mm-hmm. and just, you know, trying to get a better time on that. Just there were just so many nice little touches with this game that made it fun to replay even once you beat it. And I don't know if maybe I just replayed it a lot because I was a kid and didn't have a lot of money and had a lot of free time. But like, I don't get that feeling even with like Mario Odyssey. As much as I enjoyed it, I don't feel like a pull that makes me want to like go and replay it again. I mean, maybe I will someday, but there was something about this game that, you know, it was just fun to get back into even once you'd beat it. I don't really know how else to say that, but it was just a lot of fun to replay. Oh, so yeah, that had a huge impact on me. And as far as like, oh wow, these 3D games are kind of the future. So huge props to Nintendo for making that game.
Oh yeah, it was definitely a huge impact on a lot of people.
Right. My last one is Pokemon Blue, which came out in 1998, and this was like the first RPG I ever played. I was interested in them, but was always intimidated by them, and I always thought like, if I bought one of these, I would never be able to figure it out. You know, it just seemed so intimidating to me, with like a battle system where it's turn based and items and that you're in an inventory and all that stuff. I was used to playing, you know, platformers and racing games and stuff like that. But of course, when Pokemon came out, I had to get it. And not only the first RPG I played, but the first RPG I beat and the first RPG that I became obsessed with. And I'm still a Pokemon fan to this day, but it all started with Pokemon Blue, and I tell you, I got hundreds of hours out of that game, you know, just catching all the Pokemon and just figuring out the game on my own, because I didn't have the internet or anything, so it took me forever to make it through this game. But I had so much fun playing through it, and you know, it taught me that like, hey, I can try out different genres of video games and like, it'll be okay. Like, I'll figure them out. And so this got me over the RPG hump, but it also got me to think like, yeah, I can try other games as well. Like, I don't have to just stick to this couple of genres that I'm familiar with. It's okay to try everything. So I'm really grateful for this game for kind of opening my eyes to different kinds of video games.
Oh yeah, it's definitely always great to try another game, just not knowing how you're going to enjoy it and just absolutely love it. It's a good feeling.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah, I myself never really got into Pokemon until a later age, so it was a very late game for me, but they're definitely enjoyable.
Definitely. You know, and I was really, I would say, probably like the perfect age for this game. I was 12 years old when it came out, and I mean, so I was sucked in hard, you know, by everything Pokemon, mm-hmm. and but yeah, it just getting out of my comfort zone, because like, this thing was the biggest thing in the world at the time, you know, I had to try it, and realizing like, oh yeah, these games are awesome too, you know. So then going back and playing some of the awesome RPGs like on the Super Nintendo and stuff, and then of course all the RPGs on the PlayStation and onward, it's like, yeah, this is not my favorite genre, but it has a place, and there are some excellent games that like you don't want to miss. So definitely always worth it to broaden your horizons if you're just sticking to playing one type of game, because there's a lot of good stuff out there if you're willing to give it a try.
Oh, definitely. I found some of my favorite games from just trying things.
Right. Yeah. So yeah, that's the three I had. We could probably talk all night about games that had an impact on us, but I think we picked some good ones here. And, I just have fond memories looking back on all of these games, even the ones you spoke of. I agree with all your points. And, this has kind of been a lot of fun to look back and kind of remember kind of the impact these games had on our lives.
Yeah. I had a good time with it. It was good to go back memory lane, you know.
Oh, yeah, always. Man, I want to thank you for joining me this week, and I really do appreciate you hopping on here. Why don't you tell everyone where they can find you and follow you online?
You can find me at Cooper Cosmic on YouTube, and I'm also on Instagram and Twitter.
Awesome. Yeah, definitely check out Cooper Cosmic's YouTube channel. He's got a pretty good Zipper T Bunny video that is just blowing up on his channel. So definitely go on there and give that a watch. It's pretty funny. But yeah, he's got a lot of mostly Nintendo stuff on there. So if you like this show, you'll probably really like his channel. So definitely go give that a chance. Subscribe to him if you like it.
I appreciate that.
And that's going to do it for this episode. We want to thank everyone for listening, and we'll see you in the next one.